just something we've got to check off a list. Come on, anybody ever been guilty of that? Just wave at me. Yeah, y'all are way too spiritual for me. You're no good. You ain't going to help me today, are you? And not a single person in here just said, okay, Lord, let me get through this prayer as fast as possible because I got stuff to do. You bunch of liars. Look at y'all. Wave at me. Yeah, there you go. Both hands? Yeah. See, we got one honest person in here. There you go. Prayer is more than just a mechanical act for us to follow. It's a vehicle to bring us to a place where we enjoy a close and intimate relationship with our Father in heaven. See, the idea of prayer is to not just spout out wish lists and apologies. How many of you know we tend to pray like that, right? It's all wish lists and apologies. You know what I mean by that, don't you? It means, you know, God, I need you to do this, 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 and this for me. And oh, by the way, I'm sorry that I did this, this, and this. Have a nice day. See you later. See, prayer is, and how many of you know that's part of prayer? Come on. That's part of prayer. But the real purpose of prayer is to bring us into relational connectivity, to bring us close to the source. And it's important for us to understand that where we can enjoy this relationship, where prayer brings us face-to-face in close contact with God. And here's what's wonderful about consistently living in that place, is that it brings on a level of boldness that we otherwise would not enjoy. How many of you know that God has called us to be bold? Amen? And as we pray and as we press into the presence of God, as we get closer to the source, a different level of boldness comes upon us. And exactly how bold can you dare to be in prayer? And I'm going to contend this. We are not praying bold enough prayers. We're praying Jiminy Cricket when you wish upon a star prayers. You guys know what I mean by that? It goes a little something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, or if you're Karen's father, he says it like this. He's from Germany. Dear Heavenly Father. But when we pray, we go, Dear Heavenly Father, if you deem it acceptable, if you could possibly consider to look upon thy servant who is a worm, who is lowly and should be groveling even more than I even possibly can right now, and I know I'm not worthy and I don't deserve anything, but could you possibly consider thinking about maybe looking at the possibility of talking to or looking about or helping me out in any way? How many of you ever prayed a prayer like that? Right? How many of you know that we actually, because we've been brought into relationship, we can pray prayers that are a little more bold than that. We can pray prayers that are a little bit more, shall I say, demanding than that. Come on, you guys okay today? See, how bold can you be in prayer? Do you have the right to come into the presence of God and make certain demands of Him? What are your rights? What are the limitations? What are the boundaries when it comes to prayer? And Jesus used a really interesting way to describe how we should pray when He brought up the verse in John chapter 15, verse 7. If you guys would put that back up for me, that would be perfect. And what's interesting is when we read this verse and it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Just leave that scripture up there for me, guys. And the King James Version says, ask what you will and it shall be done. And there's a very interesting word that Jesus says there. How many of you know when that word translated, originally it was in the Greek. And in the Greek, that word ask, say ask, it absolutely dismantles any religious suggestion that we are these low-born worms who have no right to come into the presence of God. The one word, just one word, changes the context of it. You see, the word ask in the Greek is a very specific word. It's aiteo. I don't expect you to remember that. But it's a word that means to be adamant in requesting and demanding assistance to meet tangible needs such as food, shelter, money, clothing, and so forth. This word literally means to insist. And although it means to insist, it does not give the believer the license to be arrogant or to be rude in approaching God. It's not a rude demand. It's a confident demand. Come on, you guys awake. It's not a rude insistence. It's a confident insistence upon that which God has already promised. Come on. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, the word aiteo, this word for ask, is used to portray a person addressing a superior. And that person may insist or demand that a certain need be met, but he approaches and speaks to this superior with respect and with honor. Additionally, it expresses the idea that one possesses a full expectation to receive what's requested. When was the last time you went to God and prayed a prayer with full expectation to receive that which you were asking? Amen? Come on, you guys okay? When was the last time you went to God without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord was going to do what he said he's going to do? With a full expectation. How many of you know we're supposed to pray with full expectation? Right? You know, it's interesting. You know, this word is very specific, and I don't think God chooses words by accident. How about you? And it's very specific. It's going to a superior and asking with an expectation that the superior will hold true to their word. You know, it's a little simple, you know, something like this. It's, you know, how many of you have ever worked for somebody before? Right? Okay. That's good. How many of you know it's good to have worked? Yeah? Now, how many of you know if you do your job, there's an expectation that at the end of that of the pay period, you're going to receive a check? Right? How many of you would stay working there very long if the check didn't keep coming? Right? We got anybody that's purely altruistic in their motives in working here today? Right? You expect. So what you do is you would go to your superior and you would say, hey, today's payday, and you would have a full expectation that you would receive that which you worked for. Amen? Is it rude for you to expect to be paid on payday? It's not, is it? How many of you know that it's not rude, is it? And how many of you know that if you work for a good employer, say you work for a guy like Andy, who's a good boss, y'all better be quiet, because half of y'all work for him. So how many of you know, though, that if he's a good boss, which he is, he's a better friend, but that he fulfills his obligation, he holds true to his word, amen, to provide for you that which he has promised, and that when you go to him, you can ask with an expectation. Now, truthfully, you wouldn't go to him to get your paycheck. It would probably direct deposits, blah, blah, blah. You get the point, right? But that's what we're talking about here, too. You wouldn't kick his office door in and demand something, would you? How many of you know that would probably be your last paycheck? Yeah, well, his wife can do that, but you can't. So there you go. But it's not about coming rude. It's about coming with a full expectation. If you're with me, say amen. There's no doubt that this word describes someone who prays authoritatively, in a sense, demanding something from God. This person knows that what he needs and is so filled with faith that they're not afraid to boldly come into God's presence to ask and to expect and to receive what God has, what they have requested of the Lord. See, some people are disturbed and a little thrown off by the idea of demanding something from God. How many of you, that sits you can wave at me, that sits with you the wrong way. But you can always ask of God what he's already promised. That's why we started with the word last week. You have to know the word in order to know what to pray, what to ask, what you can ask for. Come on. That's why it's important that we understand what's in this book. So when we go into the presence of God, listen, you guys know I have no problem praying for healing. You want to know why I pray for healing? Because the book says we can pray for healing and expect it. I have no problem praying for provision. You want to know why? Because the book says that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And because the book says it, I have no problem praying it. Come on. We can pray in accordance to what's in the word. Now, I'm not going to kick down the door of heaven and say, God, I demand a Corvette. He never promised me one. Come on. He didn't promise me that. He didn't say I could have my way all the time, did he? But if I understand the word and I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How many of you know that's a prayer God will answer? And we can be bold with you. Okay, this morning. We shouldn't find this particular concept of prayer disturbing if we keep it in context with the entirety of the rest of the verse. The first part of John 15, 7 is the key. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Come on. See, Jesus knew that if his words were to take up residency in our life and permanence in our heart, in our mind, we would never ask for something that is out of line with his will for our life. You know, truthfully, if you have a lot of prayers that you feel like aren't being answered, here's the first thing I ask myself. Am I praying according to the will of God for my life? Am I praying according to the word? Why is this not being answered? Why is this not, maybe it's a timing issue, maybe it's not time yet for it to happen? Or maybe I'm praying out of a selfish motivation and I'm not praying according to the word. I'm praying out of abiding. Does this make sense? See, the point is for us to abide in his presence, to live with him, to be with him, in his word, abide on the inside of us, to know his word. So when that happens, when we've been habitating and we've been living and we've been in that place, when it's time to pray and it's time to ask, we begin to ask for the right things according to his will. Amen? See, his word will transform our mind, that our prayers will be in accordance with what he has already said. In fact, this process is what gives us confidence to boldly come into God's presence and to make our requests known to him, to ask him. You ask boldly because you already know what it is he wants to do. And when we begin to do that, we pray with such a different level of confidence. We believe God with such a bigger expectation. Listen, when you pray for your children, how many of you know you need to pray the word over your children? Amen? And you can pray in confidence when we do that. How many of you know that God has a plan and purpose for your life? Somebody wave at me if you know that. If you haven't been convinced of it yet, just hang around me long enough, I will convince you that God has a plan and purpose for your life. Not only that, if you hang around me long enough, I'll get you to charge hell with a water pistol. We're going to do this thing. We're going to make it happen. Because I believe that God wants us to pursue his purpose, and we can pray according to his purpose. Somebody say amen. It's never out of line to ask God to complete his will in your life. Never out of line for you to pray over your children to do that. When you know you're praying according to the will of God, you don't have to utter your requests sheepishly. You don't have to pray what I call the Jiminy Cricket wish upon a stars type prayers. You can boldly assert your faith and expect God to move on your behalf. To tell the truth, God wants you to act boldly and courageously in prayer. As a matter of fact, I can contend with you that I believe that the Lord is waiting for you to get bolder with what you're requesting, with what you're asking. How many of you raised your hand and said you're believing for somebody to be saved? Come on, wave at me. Amen? It's time to start praying prayers that don't believe that God can save. Can I get two people to agree with me in here today? Amen? It's time for us to start saying, in the name of Jesus, I call so-and-so home to the presence of God, into relationship, and to expect God to fulfill it. How many of you know that if you have a need, it's okay to go to God and say, Father, I need you to take care of this. This is not my problem. This is your problem. You know, when I first took over this church as the lead pastor, I'd been here for almost 5 years as the youth pastor. And when I stepped into that position, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. Many of you were here for that. You know. Thank God you're still with me. And I thank God for you every single day. But there was times I didn't know what to do. And we had one particular problem that came into the church. And at the time, in my life and in my walk and in that moment and at my experience level, it seemed like a massive problem. You know, I would share it with Andy, and he would giggle a little bit at me. You know, but there was a moment where there was a bill that came to the church for tax property that we could not afford. We could not pay. We did not have the money. And here I am, the man responsible for it, and everybody's looking at me saying, how are we going to do this? Doc, do you remember this? This tax bill came in, and it was absurd. And there was nothing we could do about it, and I stressed for weeks about what to do. I mean, I was making myself sick. You ever been that? You had a problem and you just make yourself sick over it? And one day I was in the place where I do my best praying. It's called the shower. Anybody have a prayer shower? Yeah. And I was praying and I said, God, here's my problem. Here's my issue. Here's what's going on. And he said, it's not your problem. I'm like, well, that's cute, Lord. But unfortunately, the facts seem to state otherwise. It's not your problem, he said to me. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. If you don't know me, I have a tendency to be a little bit proactive, and that's just my nice way of saying I'm type A. I like to be in control. Anybody else guilty? Raise your hand, Jessica. It better go up. I'm not looking at you. But Lord, that hand better be in the air. All right. Shelly, yours should have gone up too. Just saying. I'm picking on the mamas today. That's what I'm doing. And I said, God, I've got to handle it. He goes, what do you want me to do? At least I have to do something. And he says, I want you to do nothing. And I laughed. I said, God, that's cute. I don't do nothing. I always do something. He said, but this time you will do nothing. It's not your problem. I said, okay, have it your way, but this is going to go terribly wrong. Anybody else ever prayed like that? Within days, we receive a phone call from the city government saying, we have extended your exemption for another year. You owe us nothing. We didn't solicit it. We didn't ask for it. All I did was nothing. Isn't that awesome? And then I had to repent. Because I had to say, God, and you know what? I should have believed you. It wasn't my problem. It was your problem. Since that moment, I've just started praying bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Believing God for good things. Amen? Having an expectation. See, he wants us to act boldly and courageously in prayer. He wants us to seize hold of our will, his will for our lives, and demand that all of a sudden we start seeing it come into a place of manifestation. He's just waiting for you to ask, to come to the source, to come back to the place where connection happens, to get face to face with him. And don't think that you can only come to God for spiritual things. How many of you know we're spiritual beings, but we live very much in a material world? Amen? You guys who are, I'm thinking about all you young people who are getting ready to start college or have gone to college or have graduated from college. You know, it's okay to believe God to pay for your schooling. Come on, amen? It's okay to believe God to help you provide a way for you. If he called you to do that, it's okay to believe God. Come on, you've heard my phrase, my little cliches. God will always pay for what he orders. And if he orders your steps, he's going to pay for them. Come on, amen? As noted, the word that we used, aiteo, used in John 15:7, it has to do with requesting things of physical and material nature, such as food and clothing and shelter and resources and so forth. And Jesus plainly stated in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says that if we seek the kingdom first, God will see to it that all the material things that we need are provided. Doesn't that say that there? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Amen? On the other hand, James chapter 4, verse 2, it teaches that believers often do not have what they need because they don't ask. It says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight. And quarrel, you do not have because you do not ask. What this verse is really saying is you're inventing all of your own ways to try to get what you think you need. And God's standing over there saying, I'm waiting for you just to ask so I can help. Amen? But what we do is we sideline God. And we go about our own plan. How many of you know that bill would have never been paid if I had done it my way? Or if it would have been paid, it would have been paid on debt. We were able to pay that bill and not add to debt. How many of you know that's God's way? Amen? See, Philippians 4, 6. And Michelle, if you would come, I'll get ready to close in just a second. Philippians 4, 6 says this, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, the word translated request is the exact same word as we see in John chapter 15, verse 7. By using this word, Paul urges us to be bold, authoritative, commanding, but however, he underlines the point that our approach to God must not be rude and arrogant, but rather filled with gratefulness and thanksgiving. This means we have to be thankful and grateful within our heart as we come to make our requests known to him. Amen? See, listen, as you allow God's word to take a really authoritative position in your heart and in your mind and in your life, and you begin to give that word freedom to transform your thinking, your mind will become renewed to God's will. And when that happens, you'll start praying in accordance to his plan for your life. And once you are in this position, you're ready to experience this bold type of prayer. That's when you can begin to be courageous and confidently move into higher realms of prayer to obtain that which you desire in God. Not that which you desire in James or that which you desire in you. That which you desire in God. And as you make your requests known, we have to begin to take the time to show respect by thanking him for everything that he's done in our life. See, if you're a good employee, we use the boss-employee analogy for payday, didn't we? If you're a good employee, how many of you know you should be grateful for your employer who gives you the opportunity to earn? And that when you receive that, which he promised you, there should be a gratitude in your heart. I don't care how small the paycheck is or how big the paycheck is. There should be a gratitude that says, you know what? Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am, for giving me the opportunity. But even more important than that, thank you, Lord, for providing a way for my family to be cared for. And if you would live in that gratitude and live in that moment of thankfulness unto God, how many of you know that great blessing would continue to follow that? See, the Lord wants to bless you more than you even want to be blessed. The Lord wants to provide for you more than you even want to be provided for. The Lord wants to care for you in a way that is so unexpected, so above and beyond anything you could ask, think, hope, or imagine. God wants to do for you beyond even that which you could pray. See, the problem isn't that we're too arrogant in our prayer. The problem is we're not bold enough. Because when we pray prayers that are small, we make God small. But when we pray prayers that are big, all we're doing is saying, God, I am confident in your ability and in who you are. You are a big God. Amen? So we need to pray big prayers to a big God who can do big things. Amen? Let's stand to our feet today. We'll close.